Woo. They didn't want you to hear me today, but who's that sound man? I like it up here, and he likes it down here. Can everybody hear me? It's a bad thing, isn't it? This one is going to be for you. This one's going to be one that falls on the ground like you look like. This is for you to say hallelujah, amen, glory to God. So come, Lord Jesus. I want to, before I start, to all the students, college students, fifth grade, good morning. And right on through, listen to me carefully. You've been a blessing to me. You have been a blessing. I gave a group over here somewhere a hard time about talking when I'm talking, and they took it well. I've picked on these poor old college guys. Good night, have mercy. When I leave here, they're going to go, thank God he's gone. The staff, all of you, listen, please listen. I don't know how to say it. It's gonna sound like it's phony, but I love you. You've made me feel welcome. You know how to treat an old man, and I appreciate that so much. Please keep that up. But I've got to make a confession. I wrote out, "Hello, glory." I wrote out an outline because, you know what, I'm not going to keep them long this morning. I'm just going to write an outline. And I had to take it out of my Bible and shove it back into the front. And here's why. We had three songs this morning. Every one of those songs were about Jesus and glorifying Jesus. So I've changed my mind. So find John 21, please. John 21. If this goes good, it's my fault. If it goes bad, it's Brother Barry's fault. I mean, pastor's fault. Now, guys, everybody remember the rules about if you're talking when I'm talking? Who remembers the rules? I can tell them in the South, you're going to get a whooping, bless God. Whooping. A whooping. Did you ever get a whooping? So I was in a school not quite like this, but I was at a school one time. They allowed the kids to ask me questions, and one of them said, "Did you ever get a spanking?" And I said, "No." And they went, "Oh, you never got a spanking?" I said, "Not one time, never." Boy, I sure got beat a whole lot though. Amen. If you got my attributes, you're gonna get beat a lot. Raise your hand if you got John 21. Amen. Again, thank you so much. Keep us in your prayers if you would, please. We have some situations with health issues and needing help. And I went to the doctor today, and he told me all my bad stuff. And he said, "Don't do this anymore, and don't do this more." And he said, "And you're fat, but I don't care. I'm gonna keep eating." Amen. Amen. I got two chins and two bellies. It took me 75 years to get this. I ain't getting rid of it for some doctor. Amen. Amen. John chapter 21, if you would, please, beginning verse 1. By the way, don't turn me off because it's a familiar story. Listen to me. I think God has something for you here. After these things, Jesus showed himself again. Underline that word again. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith to them, "I go a fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was, by the way, the reason they caught nothing, same reason you don't get anything on you when you go soul winning. They went without Jesus. Yeah. Amen. I don't care how great of a soul winner you are, you're not going to see somebody saved without the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's God that gives the increase. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. Yeah. That gives you, doesn't give you a nickel's worth of excuse not to go try to win somebody to Christ. Amen. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I read that and I get angry. They've not been away from Jesus but a short time. And this is the third time he showed himself to them, and they were so backslidden they didn't realize it was Jesus. That's pitiful. Verse 5, then Jesus saith to them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto, by the way, that's what I preached on tonight. Make sure you back then, I'm going to preach on the disciple that Jesus loved. Ooh, I can't wait. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon and bread. Jesus saith to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Father, bless the reading of your holy word. Give us something that would draw us closer to you. God, I've heard songs, three songs this morning, that made me just want to shout. God, you are worthy of everything we can absolutely come up with and offer to you. We thank you for that. Up today, don't let this be just another damp morning where we came to school because we had to and had to. God, let this be a day when you show up and help us, please. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again. If you see the word again, he's already showed himself to them somewhere after his resurrection. Right or wrong? So here's a time when Jesus showed up, right or wrong? Again. When you look at verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself. Jesus shows up again. Please listen to me this morning. I'm going to try to help you something. Let me give you this quick message on what happens when Jesus shows up. What happens when Jesus shows up? I believe it'll be a blessing because it's in the Bible. And I just want to give you some things. Listen, be carefully. I have no axes to grind with you. I know many of you, but not a whole lot I don't know. I don't know if you're the perfect saint or the most wicked sinner in the room. I do not know those things. So I want to help you with something. If, now please listen, if I went to your house and you treated me like you didn't want me there, I wouldn't come back to your house. Are you listening to me? If you and I were having a conversation and you kept talking to everybody around but me, I would feel left out and I'd feel you didn't want me there. But if you invited me into the conversation, or you invited me into your home, or if you invited me into your life, I would love to be a part of it. We are not doing that with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why he doesn't show up. Hello, it's okay to wipe the blood off your toes. It's okay. But we're not doing that. Every morning we get up, our prayer should be, Jesus, please show up. I can't imagine going, I pick on you college men that's going to be preachers. Watch this carefully. I would never show up to preach without begging Jesus to go with me. Never. Never. Listen, we all lay eggs, do we or do we not? You know what that means, fellas? You get up and preach, it's just, ugh. And I don't care how long you've been doing it, or how short you've been doing it, It happens. We all lay eggs. This preacher married this young, beautiful woman. And after the honeymoon, he came back home and got settled into their house. And the preacher man looked over at his wife. He said, "Now, I love you, and everything I have is yours except one thing. And I'm going to tell you right up front, you listen to me. You stay out of my preaching. You don't tell me what to preach. You don't even suggest what I should preach or what I should teach. You stay totally out of my preaching. That's the one thing you got to leave alone." She said, "Oh, whatever." She got up and left, went to the bedroom. She came back and she had a little black box about this big, pretty shiny black box. She said, "Everything I've got is yours, except one thing, this little black box. You never touch it. You never open it. You never look inside of it. You never shake it. You leave it alone." He said, "That's fair. That's fair enough." Years goes by. The wife was gone. He looked over and she had left her black box on the table. Curiosity was killing him. He couldn't help himself. He had to go plunder into that little box. And the most amazing thing he found is when he opened that little black box, there was an egg and $10,000 in cash in that box. He thought, "What in God's dear name? What's going on here?" About that time, she comes in and he tried to push it back down and sit down real fast. And she said, "You messed with the black box, didn't you?" He said, "Honey, I got to be honest with you. I did, but it's got me more confused than ever. I found in that box one egg and $10,000 in cash." She said, "Yes. Every time you got up to preach, you laid an egg. I put an egg in the box. And every time I got a dozen, I sold them." All you blondes will catch on later. We all lay eggs. Amen. So it's very important. And I've tried to help you all week. I've tried to be funny. I've tried to preach hard. I've tried to help you with things. Listen to me carefully. Don't breathe without Jesus. If you, and girls, if you're teaching a Sunday school class, if you're in the youth ministers, I don't care what you're in, never do it without Jesus. You people that work a bus route or help on a bus route, don't go without Jesus. Especially when you go soul. Listen, somebody's going to go to heaven or hell because of what you're doing. I want the power of God on me. I want the power of God on me so much that when I go to tell someone about Jesus, they'll listen. And the Holy Spirit will bring conviction and that God will save them. Amen? The young man lived in sin all his life like somebody else I know. And he lived in sin all his life, but he got saved. And I in the South, y'all got a dumb saying, "Boy, he really got saved." You can't get any saver and saved. But this old boy really got saved. I mean, he got ate up with God. I mean, he got ate up with God. He just couldn't have, he couldn't get enough church. He couldn't get enough Bible reading. He couldn't get enough Sunday school. He couldn't get enough serving God. And so one of his friends said, "Man, what happened to you?" He said, "I surrendered totally to God." And he said, "What does that mean?" He said, "I want to have the power of God on me so much that if a mosquito bit me, fly away humming, there's power in the blood." Amen. Amen. What happens when Jesus shows up? The story is a great story. Here's what it is. It's so familiar story to you, you turn it off. When there's a whole lot there, then let's be careful. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. God knows everything. Oh, by the way, let me say this to you. This is a living book. Did you realize if you had 10 preachers get up and preach on nothing but John 3:16, you could get 10 different sermons? It would be good. Amen. But just because it's familiar, don't tell me off. Watch this carefully. It's a simple sermon. What happens when Jesus shows up? First of all, he ain't going to show up unless he's been invited to show up. Now watch me. What happens when Jesus shows up? Number one, ready? Fishing picks up. When Jesus shows up, fishing picks up. Look at verse 6, if you would, please. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Look at verse 10. Jesus saith them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Look at verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. I'm going to give you a few thoughts here, and I hope you'll listen to me, and that you'll listen on purpose. When Jesus shows up, fishing will pick up on your soul winning. When Jesus shows up, fishing will pick up on your bus route. When Jesus shows up, fishing will pick up in your Sunday school class. Amen. But when Jesus shows up, fishing will pick up in you, around your loved ones. Amen. I'm a first generation Christian, born and raised in Florida. No one ever told me how to be saved. I didn't have a mom growing up. My mom left me when I was a little boy. I grew up with every rough edge you can have. I mean, without a mom, you can imagine what your life was like. Walking the streets, going into the Marine Corps, going through a war. I mean, I've got every rough edge you can ever imagine that I wish I didn't have. But I just cannot imagine what it would have been like if I'd have grown up in a home where I got saved early and got to go to a Christian school. I'd have better health right now. All those drugging days and drinking days and stupid days and smoking days are telling on me now at this age. A man named Will Rogers said one time, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. But that's what it is. Jesus shows up, fishing to pick up on your bus route, on your Sunday school class, in your soul winning, in your prayer life, in your Bible reading. Fishing a pickup. Listen carefully. And you college fellows, I've never picked on your lot. Listen carefully. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself if you don't do it, somebody else will. Have you ever studied the Bible on how many that goes into the narrow gate and how many don't? Have you ever seen and studied the size of heaven, and yet this whole earth is going to have to enlarge itself because hell's going to be so big and full of people? That should break your heart. So you should want Jesus to show up. Look carefully back. I'm going to read those verses again. Verse 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Wouldn't it be nice to, listen to me carefully. Dr. Mickey Carter did a great job with this ministry. What was it Elisha asked of Elijah? Double portion. You ought to want to have a pastor that respects and honors and glory to God for the heroes like Mickey Carter. But you ought to beg God, hey, let's thank God for what he did. But let's do more. Let's build a bigger church. Now let's get so big in our colleges and in our Christian school and in our church, we have to get more land somewhere. I don't know how y'all could ever do that. You own the whole county. But think about that. A multitude. And then he said in verse 10, Jesus saith to them, bring you the fish which you have now caught. I don't like that word now. I'm going to show you something here. I want to help you with something. Jesus saith to them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Now, I'm going to make you mad. Here we go. Ready? He didn't say, bring me the fish that you caught last week. He did not say, bring me the fish you caught last month or last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. He said, bring you the fish which you have now caught. Can I tell you that that's why we have Sunday school and bus routes? That's why we go soul winning. I can tell you stories. Let's be careful. I preached at an Army base one time to over 2,000 people, and at one service, watched 215 Army people get saved. That was years ago. God said, I don't bring that. Bring what you've now caught. Bring what you've now caught. I was set by a lady on the airplane. And she was a talker. And I know you women don't believe that, but she was a talker. And by the way, fellas, we always pick on women and say women talk a lot. Get around a bunch of preachers. They talk a lot. And this lady began to tell me that I forgot because I was trying to take a nap. But she was trying to tell me where she was going, where she's been. She had pictures of all her grandkids. And I do too. Especially my great-grandchild that I just got a month ago. Yes! And she just told me all about her family. She said, I got a great family. Did you come from a great family? I said, no, ma'am. And I got to tell her my testimony. And she looked at me. She said, I've never heard nothing like that in my life. And I told her about how I got wounded so severely they put me in the body bag for dead in Vietnam. She said, that's amazing. She said, how'd you keep from getting mad and bitter at the world? I said, I got saved. She said, what's that? I got to tell her what getting saved is. You say, did she pray and ask the Lord to save her? She did. You say, did she mean it? I don't know that you meant it. Quit using that for a stinking excuse not witnessing to people. Amen. And what he's saying here is, bring the fish which you have now caught. Why don't you be honest with yourself and say, when's the last time I gave somebody a gospel tract? When's the last time I brought a visitor to church? When's the last time I presented the gospel on how to be saved to somebody? When's the last time I saw somebody saved? Now, this is no accident that God put this in the Word. Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Amen. Look at verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Now watch this here. And for all there was so many, now watch this carefully. Yeah, this is something you'll order online too. Yet was not the net broken. Now let me hit you modernists and you liberalists real fast. Ready? The net's not broken. Bus routes still work. Sunday school still works. Church still works. Preaching still works. Soul winning still works. Amen. We're coming up with every new idea of, and get mad at me if you want to, but I'm going to come right out and say it. We let the computer do what we're supposed to be doing. The computer can send out all kind of messages to people. There ain't nothing like one-on-one. By the way, I thank God. I was a mean man. I'd walk in the bar and stick my knife in you. That's how mean I was. Right out of Vietnam, just junkyard mean. But I'm glad somebody had enough courage to knock on my door. And not only invite me to church, but invite me to heaven. Thank God for that. Listen, the net's not broken. This old King James Bible, it ain't broken. It ain't broken. Bring what you now caught, because it still works. Amen and amen. What happens? Jesus shows up. Number one, fish in a pickup. Number two, and this is, I know I'm in Florida, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, but listen to me carefully. When Jesus shows up, fashions will change. Can I prove it to you? Do you remember in Luke 8 where Jesus came into an area and there was a man who lived in the tombs, naked, running around full of demons? You remember that story? But what happens when you get to the end of the story, to verse 34? After Jesus had showed up, he was clothed and in his right mind. Amen. That's old school, that's old fashioned. Dress right. Dress right. When Jesus showed up, what did Peter do? Put some clothes on. Why? Because he's naked. Now that's hard preaching in Florida. But if I was in North Carolina, I wouldn't smoke a cigar. When Jesus shows up, fashions will change. What happens? Jesus shows up. Number five, faith in God will increase. Let me show you two verses here and break it down a little bit for you. Verse 5 and 6. Then Jesus saith them, children. Now I read that And forgive me, but I get a Marine Corps temper boiling in me sometimes. Here's men who watched Jesus do all the miracles, raise the dead, heal leprosy. Are you listening to me? Here's a group of people, the disciples themselves, the apostles themselves, literally saw all that Jesus did. And now because it didn't go their way, they're mad and left him. Now, if that had been me and you, if we had been Jesus sitting over here on the seashore cooking fish and bread and get a fire going and looked out and you say, hey, you idiots, catch anything? Good. Starve to death, you bunch of wicked. But watch this carefully. You're talking about a loving Savior. Are y'all listening to me at all this morning? Jesus said, children, they were still the children of God. Amen. Children, he didn't say, hope you starve to death. He said, children, have you any meat? It's a short way away from God, but a long way back. Amen. Let's cut that long distance in short and cut it in half and get back to God where we belong. Because listen, if you're saved, you're still his children. You know, I'm telling you the truth. You'd say, I hope y'all drown. All I've done for you, saved you and kept you from going to hell, and you're going to act like this? That's what we'd have said. But such a loving God, such a loving Savior, they're still his children. And he wants to help them. Have you any meat? Now, here's another part I don't like. Children, have you any meat? What was their answer? No. Now, I know I was born back in the 40s, right at the end of World War II. I'm older than dirt. But the way I was brought up, if no was the correct answer, if you respected who you were talking to, you said, no, sir. If no was even the right answer, we had to put sir on it. Now, I understand that. It depends if you're raised in the northern south. I understand all of that. I cannot imagine looking at my daddy and going, no. I go in every store I go in, I hear some kid telling their parents that. And I look for my daddy. We were in Home Depot, my son and I, the other day, getting some materials. And there was a man, his wife, getting stuff. You tell he's going to do something around the house, fix the house up a little bit, and had a kid with him. And this kid wanted the gumball out of the gumball machine, and they couldn't get it and wouldn't get it. And the kid threw himself up in the air and came. I thought he'd killed himself. Came right down on his back. And his mother said, get up. He said, no. Ooh. And she picked him up, and he slapped her. Now I looked at my son and I said it loud enough anybody at Home Depot could hear me. I said, you know why they act like that in public? They get away with it at home. Son, do you know why you never did that to me? You're still breathing. Now, if you got that kind of respect for your parents, how about having that kind of respect for God? God said, I want you to. Somebody's sick. Somebody broke a leg. Somebody's in the hospital. I need you to go help on the bus route this week. No! I need you to substitute teach in one of the Sunday school classes. No! You say, I would never do that. You do it by not being there. You do it by not being there. God, listen carefully. You know what you want to do? You want God to open up a tunnel. I mean, it's just your college revival. Mine are talking to them. But you want God to open up a tunnel so you see what's on the other side. And if it's something you want to do, okay, God, your will be done. But if it's something you don't want to do, you're telling God, no. Let God send you to the mission field where you'll never be in the sword of the Lord. You'll never be a well-known preacher. What you gonna do then? No. Be very, very careful. Verse 5 and 6, again, watch this carefully. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, now watch this carefully, when it says they cast therefore, what is that telling us? They heard him. And they did what he said. Therefore, and now they were not able to draw the nets. Watch this carefully. When I say faith will increase when Jesus shows up, they heard the voice of God. By the way, every morning when you get up, if you read this old King James Bible, you'll hear the voice of God. Amen. Now watch this carefully. You're talking about faith increasing. Had they caught fish all night? No. Had they left Jesus? But Jesus showed up. And when Jesus said, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. He said, then do this. Cast your net on the right side. And stay with me. They heard him. They did it. And watch this carefully. What would happen if they had heard him and said, hey, dude, we're professional fishermen. We know what time of the night to fish. We know what kind of nets to use. We know what kind of bait to use. I mean, I don't know who you are trying to tell us what to do. We are professional fishermen. We know exactly what we're doing. But watch this carefully and thank God for this. Because Jesus showed up, their faith increased. Watch me now. They heard it. Number two, they believed it. And then they did it. What is it God's speaking to your heart about? And I'm going to say this, and I'm not here to make you doubt your salvation. But there's some people in a crowd this big that either are not saved and you play in church, you play in religion, or or you're not sure you're saved, or you're not saved, and you're choosing going to a Christian school to get you into heaven. If coming to church or to a Christian school would get you into heaven, then every time you went into a barn, you'd become a cow, a horse, a pig, or a chicken. Amen. So make sure you understand what I'm saying to you. They heard it, they believed it, they did it. Have you heard that Jesus Christ left the splendor and glory of heaven and came to this earth born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and yet died for sin, but the sin he died for was not his, but yours? You ever heard that? You ever heard this? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, but shall be saved. You ever heard that before? But wait a minute. You heard it. Do you believe it? Because if you believed it, you'd get saved. In our church, you know, we don't have nothing this grander, I promise you. We're missionaries. We live on a mission field. We have four sections in our church. So one, two, three, four. We have four sections in our church, all right? Here is a light. We had been remodeling, and when you remodel, sometimes you have to tear things down to rebuild. And by the way, that's what God does in your life if you'll let him. And right where most of the people were sitting, there was a light. Nothing wrong with the light. But I got up and made the announcement that hey, folks, be careful now when you walk around. We've got boards and nails sticking up. So watch your kids. Be careful. And I said, I got to tell you people something. That light where we were working above, we knocked it loose. It failed. And then we put it back up, but just temporarily. It might fall again. So you people right under that light need to move. I was lying. It had never fallen. Did you realize that four people sitting here got up and moved because they heard what I said and believed it and moved? And the rest of them just sat there. And that's what the world's doing when they hear about Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right.
You'll get a few.
Right.
But watch this carefully. It's just like having gospel tracts in your pocket. If you ain't got them, you can't give them.
Right.
Amen. And by the way, nobody would ever thought I'd have gotten saved. You know why God saved me? And I believe this with all my heart. I believe God saved me to show the rest of you that He can save anybody. You know why I believe God used me? To show you that God can use anybody. So quit making excuses and go be used to God. When Jesus shows up, fishing will pick up. When Jesus shows up, fashion will change. When Jesus shows up, faith in God will increase. Watch this carefully. When Jesus shows up, there'll be a fire burning. Look at verse 9. And soon, then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. When Jesus shows up, there'll be a fire burning. Do you remember Jeremiah's Monday morning? Hey, preacher guys, college boys, listen to me. How would you like for God to say, I'm going to send you to a certain place? You're going to have Sunday schools. Nobody's coming. You're going to run bus routes. Nobody's coming. You're going to preach. Nobody's going to get saved. Not only that, they're going to hate your guts and they're going to try to stone you to death and spitefully use you. Boy, what a ministry. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what he did to Jeremiah. That's why we call it the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Now watch this carefully. Jeremiah went to church Sunday. He preached his heart out. Nothing happened. Monday morning, he gets up and said, that's it. I mean, he was having a Jeremiah Monday morning. He said, that's it. I'll never preach in that name again. And you know I'm telling you the truth if you know the Bible. Amen? Yeah. But he messed up. You know what he did? He went back again and got into the Word of God. And when he did, a fire began to burn in his bones. And he said, I could not help but to go on and keep going for God. I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, there'll be a fire burning. Jonathan Edwards, the great Jonathan Edwards, made this statement to some preacher boys one time. They asked him about the power of God and the preaching and everything else. And after they got through, that old wise man said, fellas, when you serve God and when you preach, if you set yourself on fire, somebody will come to watch you burn. You preacher boys listening to me this morning? If you set yourself on fire, somebody will come to watch you burn. That, my friend, is how you build a church when you get out of college. Amen and amen. Did you notice in that same verse, though, when Jesus shows up, there'll be food? Amen. Woo! Yeah, this preacher and this minister here, and I'll say it again tonight because I want to thank everybody. You folks know how to take care of people. You do. You really do. So does Jesus. Let us mind being you, which also Christ Jesus. If Jesus fed you and took care of you and had the food, don't you let nobody go hungry. Learn how to treat people. I'm going to say this, and you can take this any way you want to, because I don't know where you're from, I don't know what kind of home church you have. When Jesus shows up, there will be food. But watch this carefully. No food, no life. Is anybody listening to me? No food, no life. You'll starve to death. And watch this carefully. I hear again, I don't know what kind of church you come from. That's why, preacher, we have so many dead churches. They're not being fed that blessed book and the Word of God. And when there's no food, there's no life. That's why there's so many dead churches in America today. When Jesus shows up, I don't know what number we're on, it doesn't matter, number 406. When Jesus shows up, your focus will be renewed. Do you remember when he asked Peter three times, Peter, lovest thou me? And watch this carefully. Each time Peter said, yea, Lord. Then Peter, it hit him. It hit him. It broke his heart. Three times I denied him, and he's asked me three times, do I love him? Well, if I don't speak to you, I don't know what will. How many times have you heard this? We preachers get together sometimes, and somebody's name of the past to be brought up. or somebody in the present be brought up who's quit on God. We'll ask, hey, brother, what about that young man that was in college last time I was here? He was only like a freshman. I know he didn't graduate. What happened to him? He used to serve God. He used to win souls. He used to help a bus route. He used to be in church. He used to be in the college, but not anymore. Really? We need our focus renewed. Let me hurt your feelings. It ain't about you. It's about Jesus. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. When Jesus shows up, failures will be forgotten about. Yeah, but look at me carefully. Every one of us has failed. God uses failures. Listen, don't look at me with that pious look that where you're holier than thou. Listen carefully. We all have failed. But when Jesus shows up, failures will be forgotten about. Ladies, my wife this past Monday, 2 days ago, turned 72 years old. Been married to so ugly man for 55 years. God didn't call her, he called me. We got turned, and we went, preach, I don't know if you know the story, not I think you know it, but we went to a world famous mission board, Independent Fundamental Baptist Mission Board, and we tried to join their board to be missionaries to go to win Indians to Christ. And they asked me when had God called me, and I told them. They asked my wife, said, now when did you get called? She said, when I said I do. They said, huh? She said, when I said I do. That's when I surrendered. Whatever God calls him to do, I'm going to be a help meet. I'm going to meet the need and help him serve God. And they turned us down and would not let us be on their mission board because of that. Best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. That same lady, girls, are you listening? We left Florida, went 2,000 miles away with a wife and two little boys, and she followed. There was three times in my life, and I don't have time to tell you the story. Three times in my life, I wanted to quit on God. And that godly woman helped me stay after it. That same woman lived 5.5 years in a borrowed travel trailer without running water or electricity out on the desert. We had no way to even run a fan when it was 115 degrees. We had no way of heating the little trailer when it was 3 degrees. And some of the, I think the Peach family and some other family that are here this morning just came to our place. When they were there, it was 106 degrees just this past summer. And she did that for 5.5 years. No running water, no electricity, so this man could have a ministry. I felt like such a failure. I can't even take care of my own wife and my own kids. What in the world am I supposed to do? I came home from work one Wednesday night to preach to my wife and three boys like I had done for 3.5 years. 79 people showed up. I went from 0 to 79 in one day. But it took me 3.5 years to get to that day. Is anybody listening? I no longer thought about those days, those 3.5 years when nobody came. I never thought about that 5.5 years living like bums. Never thought about that. 6 months after that night of 79 getting saved, we was running 250, and until COVID hit, we've been growing ever since. You know what? When Jesus shows up, you'll forget about your failures. You'll praise God a lot. I'll give you one more and we'll go home. When Jesus shows up, fascination will never cease. Fascination will never cease. In May of 1969, I had my left arm blown off. And if you got close enough, you could tell that this is only half the size of this side. This is half of totally paralyzed. I lost the muscle in my hand. It looks like a crippled man. They thought I had bled to death, put me in a body bag for dead. They took my dog tags off. The long one they sent home to your family as a keepsake. The little short one they put on the zipper of the body bag so they could tell who's in their dead. My wife, we were married before I went to Vietnam. My dad and my wife, back in those days they didn't have cell phones and computers. They had a thing called Western Union Telegram. Hey, nobody here knows. Anybody know what I just said, what that is? Do you really? Okay. And when during the wartime, if you see them coming to knock on your door, you go to pieces because they're coming to tell you somebody's been killed. For 3 months, right here in Florida, my family waited for the body so they could have a funeral. 3.5 years. I'm in Yokohama, Japan, in an army hospital. They had had surgery. I couldn't use my arm. It was up here because they had to put the bone had got blown away, so they had to put metal in there with screws. And I was laying in that hospital trying to recover. And some MPs came in the back door and asked somebody, they pointed toward me, and I thought, man alive. I wasn't saved back then. I said, I've been laying here for 3 months. Nothing MPs coming after me for. And they brought a landline phone. Raise your hand if you know what that is. Do you really? Wow. And it was white. And they came and put it on the stand beside the bed I was laying in. And they said, you got to call home. I said, for what? And then they told the story I just told you. Your family's been told you were dead. And they're waiting for you to get home to come to family. You got to call them. I said, call them? What am I supposed to call them and say, surprise? What, I mean, what do you do? I said, who told them? Who told them I was dead? And they said, the colonel and the sergeant went to your dad's house where your wife is staying and told them. I said, are you sending them back over there and tell them the whole thing? Now, can you imagine? Are you listening to me? I think about that so often. And I am in shock. I'm in excitement. But when Jesus shows up, fascination never ceases. Are you listening? To think you could go through something like that, as traumatic as thinking your husband's dead, your child is dead, realizing what you went through. And it's amazing that God can do those things and use you. Can I give you one more? Do I have 2 minutes maybe? My mother left me when I was a little boy. I come from a divorced home. And usually the lady gets the kids, but in this case she didn't want them and daddy got us. I came back from Vietnam, August the 24th, 1970, I got saved. In North Florida. Is Richard in here? Nope. Richard, outside of Hawthorne, if you take the back road to Melrose, you'll find a lake called Santa Fe Lake. I got saved on the Santa Fe Lake Road, August 24th, 1970, sitting in a car. I went to find my oldest sister, who still lives in North Florida, close to 80 years old, not doing well. She had quit school to raise us. She became our mother. If she was here right now, I'd make her mad. I'd say, hey, my mom's here today. Hey, mom. And she just gets so mad when I say that and pick on her about that. I went to her and I said, my real mother, when it gave birth to me, how do I find her? And she let me know real quick that she didn't know and she didn't care. I wasn't about to ask my dad. But I began to plunder around. And I found out that my mother's youngest sister, and I got that phone number, and I called her. And I said, told her who I was, and I said, is my real mother still alive? She said, yeah, she's remarried. She married a guy that drives a truck hauling lumber in the Panhandle, Florida. Way over yonder, between Tallahassee and Pensacola, all right? And she said, back in those days, folks, if you had a sugar mill or saw mill or whatever, they had mill houses. And if you worked for them, you lived in those mill houses. And they were living in this little bitty mill house, not worth nothing. All thing I had was a stick shift car. But it only had one arm. And I drove from Jacksonville all the way there, one-handed. A semi-truck with a load of lumber was driving out of the lumber yard. And I stopped him. And I told him what I was looking for. He said, oh, I know who you're talking about. No, he said, no, sir, I'm not them. But he pointed to a certain house with a number on it. That's where you want to go. I said, thank you. Now, you got to remember, I have a shirt like you got on. This has got a cast on it. It's all messed up from surgeries. I spent 14 months in the hospital with this. I knocked on the door. And my stepdad, who I'd never seen, didn't know him, came to the door. He did not say, yes, sir, what can I do for you? Or, come on in. You know, he just stepped back and opened the door. It was strange. You know why? She was my biological mother. She got the same telegrams that everybody else got. Wow. And when he opened the door, because he knew, because watching me, he knew who I was. I can't explain it to you, but he opened his door. I stepped in and I could look through the living room into that little bitty kitchen, and my real mother's in the kitchen. She turned and saw me. Ran so hard, she got right here and just froze, just stopped. You could tell she wanted to hug me, but she didn't know how I would respond because she had left me when I was a little boy. I reached and put my arm around her, pulled her in real close. She was crying so hard, she was shaking, and she fainted on me, and I only got one arm. I turned sideways and let her ease into a chair. I got on my knees in front of her. I said, I come to tell you something. I told her how I got saved. And I called her mama. It blessed her heart. I said, mama, I come to tell you that if God can save me, if God can forgive me, I can forgive you. And my mama got saved. Folks, please listen to me. When Jesus shows up, fascination never ceases. There is nothing my God can't do. There is nothing my God can't do. If we had a peanut for a brain, we'd ask Jesus, please show up.